Luke 6.
It started with 7.
I mean 7. Thank you. See, you weren't asleep. I was just testing you.
Just testing.
All right, we talked about centurion, but there's some other interesting words here. When he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, this was after the Sermon on the Mount, he entered into Capernaum. Capernaum is kind of a great word. It comes from two Greek words, kaphar, or actually two Hebrew words, kaphar, nachum, and it means a village of comfort.
Are you saying kaphar or kaphar?
Kaphar and nachum, that's the two words that make up Capernaum.
Right.
And the prophet Nahum is... that's what Nachum is, what his work. He was a prophet that predicted the fall of Nineveh, and he was also the writer of the book by his name. But anyway, I like that word, village of comfort.
Yeah.
Worthy is, wait a minute, where are we? And a certain centurion servant was dear unto him, was sick, and was ready to die. Now, the word servant is this word doulos. And it's the lowest position in the scale of servanthood or servitude. It's one who gives himself totally to another's will, a bond slave. Whatever he does at the total and complete disregard of his own interests. Now, let's look and see how that's used. And if it's doulē is the feminine form of servant. Let's look at Romans. Let's go to Romans 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now the word servant there is this word, doulos. And he puts his servanthood above his apostleship and above his calling because it's first. And this is the definition we've talked about, but this is a disciple. He is a bondservant who serves at the will of another. Now that will of another isn't a person. The will of you serve at the expense of your own will, your own likes, your own dislikes. That's huge. If you can understand that position of servanthood, first of all, you can never be offended. It's impossible. And secondly, you can never be as free. You're totally and completely free in bondage, but it appears to the world to be bondage. And this is a servant that was typified, I don't think they did it often, but it was typified by nailing the lobe of your ear to the doorpost of the house. They did it for a period of time to literally understand what that word servanthood means. Let's look at some more.
When you say they did it for a period of time, you're saying that you had to kind of hang there with your ear for a while, or you're...
Well, they just did it. They nailed your ear, and then took the nail out.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians 7.
The original ear piercing.
Original pierced ear. Verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant, care not for it. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. For he that is called to the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. And likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. So anyway, you can see the intensity of this, I hope. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians is right after. All right, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, or to a different gospel, which is not another, but there isn't another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we've said before, so I now say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You cannot be a servant of Christ and have any interest in pleasing men or women. Amen?
Amen.
Or maybe even more, pleasing yourself.
But that's axiomatic. You're already a servant at the expense of your own will. All right, let's go to Galatians. We just did. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Next book. Verse 5. As servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Now, at that time, there were actual servants that were bond servants. But this is the idea: if you're working for somebody, you're working for them as unto Christ. Now, that's not what we're studying, though. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, well, let's look at some more. Philippians 1. Next couple pages. Paul and Timothy to the servants. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ. Again, he puts the servanthood above everything else. Let's go to Colossians 4. Next book. Well, it's just one verse. It's this a guy that's with Paul and Timothy. He said, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Let's go to James chapter 1, right after Hebrews. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. You're getting the idea. No matter who it is, whether it's Peter or James or Paul, let's go to look one more. Jude, a few pages to the right, just before Revelation. Jude, the servant, bondservant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. Now let's look at what else you can be a servant of. Let's go to John 8. Verse 34. Remember, this is where he's talking to Jews that believe on him. And starting in verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now that really pissed him off. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever." So you can be a servant of sin, just like you're a servant of, who's that guy that wrote the song? You got to serve somebody or something.
Bob Dylan. Who?
Bob Dylan.
You've got to serve somebody.
Yeah.
Whether it be the devil or the Lord, you've got to serve somebody.
Amen. All men, without exception, are the servants of Satan. As long as you're self for self, it's the servant of Satan. The only one that can serve him is the dead. First of all, you being dead and Christ in you, the only hope of glory. All right, well, let's go to another one. Let's go to 2 Peter. I'm going all over the place. You know what? We're going to read from the verse, chapter 2, verse 1, for a while. But there were false prophets also among the people.
Where are you starting?
Chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even if there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. There's never been a time in history when the way of Christ has been more evil spoken of than it is today. And the reason is, it's because these idiots on television all over the world, anybody with any sense, cannot possibly think there's any. The only people that we've talked about this before, but in general, these are general numbers. 63% of the people that give money to the evangelists on television are elderly, mostly elderly women. About 30% are 30-some percent of what we call the desperation pool. They're dying of cancer. They've tried everything else. Their son has AIDS. It appears hopeless. People that have tried everything. So that in their last desperation, they see this guy on television, and their mind is clouded because of the desperation. And the final small percentage the worst. These are upper middle class, relatively wealthy, living in gated communities, who want a spiritual justification for their own greed. What these supposed men of God are doing is they're sanctifying greed and trivializing suffering. If anything, if you don't get healed or if you don't get the money that was they promised you, it's not their fault. It's something's wrong with you. You've got secret sin in your life. And it's just mind-bendingly evil. Is that the ice machine?
Yeah.
Why don't you turn it off? That would be simpler, wouldn't it? Thank you. There's somewhere between 5 to 7 million people that routinely donate. And it's just, I can't even believe God lets it happen. All right, we were just starting here. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, their damnation slumbereth not. And they make merchandise of you by their mailing lists. Let's assume that Mr. Johansson was wealthy. Well, let's assume that Mr. Johansson was a wealthy old lady.
I might be very attractive.
Ooh, that's a scary thought.
And he or she,
yes,
watches Copeland and Benny Hinn and has sent a considerable amount of money. When she routinely gets a call and saying, either I am Benny Hinn's executive assistant, or I am Copeland's executive assistant, and he just wanted me to call you to see if you had any needs or anything that we could pray for you for. And these are people who are reading a script. It's a company called, one of the companies is called
Infocision. Another one is Micah Tech.
Infocision is in Ohio. Micah Tech is in Tulsa.
Yeah.
And they have call centers. And there's another one, I just met them in California.
Kelly
Media Services.
Yeah.
And they have a script. They have call centers, and they have, you know, just minimum wage employees who sit there and all day long, they make calls with these scripts, and it's pretty impressive. You're getting a call from the executive assistant. That's talk about making merchandise of you.
I remember one woman who called that was about to give $50,000 to Tilton, and she was telling me how she got calls from Tilton's executive assistant. I'm sure it's one of those calls.
It's a call center. All right. And through covetousness, they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth, a preacher of righteousness, being in being in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those who should after live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The filthy is, again, that word pernicious. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And the reason those unlawful deeds aren't homosexuality, if you believe the Bible, it's how they treated the poor, how they treated the homeless. The Lord knoweth how to deliver. And by the way, isn't it interesting, just from the standpoint of these guys, how many of these guys end up being homosexual or having homosexual affairs?
Yeah, it is bizarre.
And one of them wrote a press release saying that he had an affair, but it wasn't, this was Marcus Lamb in his press release. He said he admitted to having an affair, but the press release had to state, but it wasn't with a man or a transvestite. Now, can you imagine writing that press release?
Why would you have to say that?
That's sort of interesting.
Yeah.
And he paid the woman $640,000 to keep her mouth shut.
Really?
Just like Paul Crouch paid $425,000 to Lonnie Ford to keep his mouth shut because they had a homosexual affair. I wonder who the transvestite in Marcus Lamb's life is. I'm sure their representatives are listening to this.
Yeah.
So, sure. Hi guys, report it correctly.
I thought possibly it was him.
All right. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment. But chiefly unto them that walk after the flesh, and the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and delivered and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with the man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after that they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. Now the word, the particular word about servant was verse 19. Well, they promise them liberty. They themselves are servants of corruption. Now, every ministry that we've investigated, at the top, they're moral snake pits. And it looks like this section we just read was written for today.
This word here is doulos too, right?
Right. They're bond servants of corruption. They justify everything. Bishop Earl Polk justified his affairs and with innumerable women.
His brother's wife.
Including his brother's wife. And they sired a child. With this idea that they were kingdom relationships. And Eddie Long, who was a disciple of Bishop Earl Polk, justified his homosexual acts by some similar term as kingdom relationships. And he just settled out of court for $25 million, which we're not supposed to know about. $25 million paid to those...
Four.
Guess who's paying the $25 million?
The congregation.
The congregation. Guess who paid the $450,000 to Paul Crouch's homosexual lover? Those that had given the money to the ministry. Guess who paid the $640,000 to pay off Marcus Lamb's sexual partner, the donors. Everything I've said here, I'm going to say with that Religious News Writers Association.
There's definitely some inflation here.
$25 million.
Yeah. There's still a little inflation here. Of course, there was four guys there. So.
Well, the whole deal was they wanted a public apology. If they got a public apology, they'd have settled for $12
million. Yeah.
50% discount.
So they settled for not a public apology, a private apology, which he did, but it was for $25
million. Wow. Price is crazy.
To me, things like this, because a lot of these things are non-disclosure when they settle. I think they should.
They all are non-disclosure.
I think they should. I find that so offensive.
Yeah.
Right up there with the rest of it.
Guess where I'm gonna. This is where I'm gonna announce it all.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. You get a couple of your hands in the cookie jar or in somebody else's pants. You might as well just own up to it because it's going to be public knowledge in a heartbeat. It was like what happened with Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
Well, the thing, it's different for me, the people that are doing it in the name of God.
Yeah.
That extends it to a level that is beyond comprehension to me. But anyhow, that's enough for this morning's little lesson. You understand being a servant? That's what this whole thing was about.
And the freedom seems
it seems contradictory that you could, the only way you can be totally free is to be a bondservant. Because that's the only thing that can curb your own lusts. That's why I took a vow of poverty and a vow of chastity. because I'm worse than any of these guys. Because I'm not homosexual, but I'm everything else. If I got in a position without the body of people, without the vulnerability we have here, I'm sure I'd have screwed up as much as anybody. Anyhow, well, I hope you guys that are listening for the televangelists got a kick out of this morning, and invite you to come to the September 27th Religious Newswriters Association conference, because I'll be speaking there about these things. And so you might want to get a restraining order to try to keep me from speaking at this National Conference of the Religious Newswriters. But with that, take it big, guy.